Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Morrison from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, The Wondrous Message Came First to the Shepherds. This is our day after Christmas and our Christ Candle Sermon based on two readings. First, Isaiah 62, and the second, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. But let us begin with prayer. All glory to you, great God, for the gift of your Son, light in darkness and hope of the world, whom you sent to save us. With singing angels, let us praise your name and tell the earth his story, that all may believe, rejoice, and bow down, acknowledging your love through Jesus Christ our Lord, born on Christmas Day. Amen. So let's turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 62, and we are looking at verses 6 through 12. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent, and give him no rest till he establishes, and till he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and the arm of his strength. For surely I will no longer give you grain as food for your enemies, and the sons of the foreigner shall not drink your new wine for which you have labored. But those who have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. Those who have brought it together shall drink it in my holy courts. Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, take out the stones, lift up the banner for the peoples. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him, and his people before him. And they shall call them thy holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. On this first day after Christmas, may I wish you all that the spirit of Christmas will remain with you all the rest of the year. I wish you had a miraculous holiday and that your wishes for this holy day were fulfilled. So as we return to our studies on Scripture, today we turn to the prophet Isaiah with a message of hope. Now most of us think of the prophets as doom and gloom people who come to warn us of impending disaster. They certainly did, mostly because we deserve such warnings due to our sin and our rebellion against God. But they also brought wonderful messages of hope for a better time to come. After Isaiah spoke harshly to the people, he usually had a good message that followed. And today's selection is part of God's assurance of salvation that fits well with Christmas. And we begin with, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. God has never left us unprotected ever in the history of humankind, but we humans have often neglected or ignored God's protections. As used here, watchmen, it refers to the prophets that came wave upon wave to warn the people. Watchmen in ancient times were posted on the city walls to keep watch for invading armies and gangs of robbers, that the people could be warned to defend their city in case of attack. They were very important to the welfare of any city, and punishment for failure to perform rightly was indeed very serious. We can read the many messages of God's prophets that came to us to warn us of in our Bibles. But never think these were only an ancient message to an ancient people now long gone. The voices of the prophets speak directly to us today, even thousands of years later. So, do we have modern prophets or watchmen? Now, this is difficult to say clearly who they might be because many we may think are prophets are actually false and sent to mislead us. But the reality of this is that we are all called to be watchmen on our walls, the walls of our community, as well as the walls of our culture, one that was once called a Christian nation that has now fallen to become very secular and sin-focused. There was a recent article in the Winchester Star this past week that said the fastest growing religion are people who identify as none. They have no recognized religion. They are atheists, agnostics, or just don't know. How has this been allowed to happen? We, the church, have failed to remain relevant in today's world. Many have tried by introducing entertainment portions in worship to attract while ignoring the root cause of attendance falling off. We have been outgunned by Satan. TV, movies, music, and sports have taken the place of the church in people's lives while we sit behind our doors quietly. Are we to stand on the streets or malls and shout scripture, flood social media with creative captions? No. We are to live in Christ in all areas of our lives and faith, being the visible signpost showing the way to salvation. We are not to be the person who says one thing but lives another. We are to make people envious of our lives in Christ, that they will want to find God. These verses continue with, "They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent." The day are the watchmen who have a very busy times in the attacks of Satan that are on us, and they are continuous and vicious. Today, Christians are the oppressed. We are under constant attack to reduce our influence in the world. When the attack is continuous, the defense must also be constant. We are never to remain silent when we see injustice or any form of sin promoted as a right, as has been done and will continue to be done until this is not a viable strategy for Satan. We see this in abortion, where the murder of the innocent is declared to be a right. We see it in our schools, where critical race theory is promoted as a model to raise our most precious resource, our children. There are many, many more examples, but these are current, and we are all aware of the horrendous damage done to our society, as well as the millions of lost souls. Now, the bulk of this passage foretells the coming fulfillment of the promises of God at a future time when the people are again reverent to God. Example in verse 10, go through the gates, prepare the way of the people, build up the highway, take out the stones, lift up the banner for the peoples. When people entered the temple, they did not go into a building, but into a courtyard. We could say today, go through the door and enter the church, or to enter into the presence of God. The physical analogy used here is of a physical building of the road or path is very simply for us to make it as easy and desirable that people will come. Remove the obstacles. Make the path easy. The banner is to encourage people to come, to gain their attention. You can tell someone to come, and we will all be gloomy and sorrowful, or you can tell them, come, hear the message of God as chosen for you personally. Or you can simply say and do nothing. God, through Isaiah the prophet, now tells us that the coming event that changes the world, surely your salvation is coming, behold, his reward is with him, his work is before him. Christ did come as a babe. The joy of Christmas is the celebration of that coming and the salvation it truly brought to all of humanity, if we are able to hear it and receive it in faith. Jesus' reward is clear, but the work still remains. Now, turning to our gospel message in Luke chapter 2, we will read the first 20 verses. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known this saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. Our gospel message today from Luke is one of those that are so important, but so often heard, it can be difficult to gain your attention. You've heard it all before, but the importance is so great, you're going to hear it again, but just maybe with a little different twist. We begin with the announcement that all the world was to be registered in order to be taxed, and Joseph and Mary, both descended from David, were compelled to go to Bethlehem at a specific time to fulfill their duty to Rome. Now, have you ever considered that this decree was all a part of God's plan? Joseph and Mary lived in Nazareth in the northern part of Israel. And last week we heard the prophecy that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. What could have compelled Joseph to pack up and move his family on a long journey to a place where we had no job and no clear way to earn a living? Why at the very time when Mary was due to deliver her baby? Was Caesar just a pawn of God to force this man to go this way at this time? But go they did, even though this was a difficult journey for Mary. They get there, and because of the huge crowd of others that had come to register, there's no lodging available. The innkeeper has often been promoted as a sort of a villain, but he simply may not have had a choice. But he does make the extra effort to find them shelter of any sort. And once settled in, Mary's time comes and she has the baby Jesus. I have often wondered if she even had a midwife to assist, or even if God himself assisted in the delivery. Now, a great deal of the remainder of this message I take from Dr. Paul Elliott and Teaching the Word Ministries. For Bible-believing Christians, these are very familiar words. We read them every Christmas season. We have heard them recited in countless Christmas programs. But for many, even for Bible-believing Christians, these words have become so familiar that we do not often stop to consider the true meaning and the stupendous importance of this account. What we are witnessing in Luke chapter 2 is one of the greatest turning points in all of history, God taking on a body of human flesh in order to redeem fallen sinners, and indeed to redeem the entire created order, the entire universe, from the curse of sin. The only greater turning point thus far in the history of the world happened 33 years after this, when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross to pay in full the price for sin with his own blood. He then rose bodily from the grave in declaration of the fact that condemned sinners could now stand fully justified once and forever before the judgment bar of God. So to whom was this message given? It is worth noting at the very beginning that this is a message that was first given not to intellectuals, not to educated theologians, not to the religious leaders, not to kings and princes, not to leaders of science or industry, and not to great philosophers, but first of all to simple shepherds. It was announced, not in the throne room or the seat of government of any earthly king, nor even in the temple at Jerusalem, but in a field to simple men, perhaps amid the sound of baying animals. First of all, who were the angels who came down from heaven saying these great words, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men"? Let me first tell you what they are not. They are not greeting card angels. They are not Hallmark angels or American greetings angels. They are not cartoon angels. They're not precious memories angels. They were not the feminized misrepresentation of angels that we so often see in advertisements and in various Christmas displays or in any works of art. No, these angels were not any of these things that Satan the great deceiver had put into the heart of man in place of God's truth about angels. So who then were these angels? The answer is that they were an army, God's supernatural army. The actual term that is used in Luke chapter 2 is a military term. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. The force of the original Greek is much stronger. Literally it reads like this: and suddenly there was with the angel an innumerable company of supernatural beings composed of the ranks of the heavenly army. In fact, when William Tyndale translated the New Testament in the early 1500s, that is how he rendered it: and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly shoulders, the angelic army of God. So why did God come into this world? 1 John 3:8 tells us, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. For this purpose God the Son came into the world in visible human form." Why? That he might destroy the works of the devil. He came so that he might break the hold of the works of the devil on this world at large and on the elect of God in particular, that he might free men from the bondage of the devil and from the curse brought on by the devil, that he might lose the force of devil's hold upon them. And so a supernatural army came with him as Jesus came into the world, into Satan's realm. A multitude of heavenly soldiers. The angelic army of God coming, it would appear, to do battle with the forces of Satan that we see our Lord himself dealing with so often in the Gospels, as he cast out demons and rebuked evil spirits. Just as the Lord's army came to defend Elisha and the physical nation of Israel, the Lord's army came with Christ when he entered this world to accomplish the redemption of the Israel of God, the people of the body of Christ. The angels who came to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2 were mighty beings. Aside from God himself, they are the most mighty beings in the universe. Several times in Scripture, the angels are spoken of as creatures of great power. The angels of whom we read in Luke chapter 2 are an army, a legion of angels, operating at the command of the second person of the Trinity as he comes into the world, taking on a body of human flesh, beginning as an infant. And so it is absolutely vital for us to understand clearly and exactly the message of these mighty creatures, operating at the command of Almighty God. It was a message they shouted forth at their great sovereign's command. And what was their message? In Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." That is how the words are given to us in the King James Bible and also in the New King James translation. Some other translations render the original Greek of this passage in the same words, but actually, those words are not the best rendering of the original language. I think it's unfortunate that we have the words as they appear in most English Bibles for this reason. So often, when people hear and read these words, the message that the angels brought into the world is misunderstood, even in the church. There are many popular misconceptions about this message, but the message of the angels was not anything like the popular conception we have today, or I should say, the popular misconception of the Christian message and the Christian gospel. What we have in Luke chapter 2 in the message of the angels is in fact the core, the essence of the Christian gospel. The message of the angels is vastly different from the message that is popular today that is mistakenly called the Christian gospel. The message of the angels was not something vague and indefinite. It was something clear and concise. We need to understand that, and the church needs to proclaim that. Because of the way in which this message is often misrepresented, people easily get the mistaken idea that the message of the angels is a message of unqualified, unconditional tolerance. And so, not only at this Christmas season, but on every day of our life on earth, as soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth, we can truly say, and we can truly sing with the angelic army of God in the highest glory to God, on earth, peace, the peace of Jesus Christ, and in men, in the chosen people of God, good pleasure because of God's grace. The song of the angels of glory is also a song of the saints of God. The song of the angels announcing the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings, ruler over all of creation. As God through Isaiah called for watchmen on the wall, and as the shepherds kept watch over their flocks by night, use these two examples as to just what we are charged with. That we are to keep watch, not for human armies, but for Satan's ever-present attack on God's chosen, those who love and fear him, that we might rightly warn of the attack and be there to assist one another. So on this day, immediately after Christmas, remember that God chose to bring his Son for our benefit as a babe. The wondrous message came first to the shepherds, people like you and me, because God desires us to hear straight and not the reinterpretation of scholars and the elite. This message of great joy came to the people first, maybe because God knew that the elite would simply not believe. Keep this message of Christmas in your hearts now, after Christmas and forever. Amen. And may the grace of God that has appeared bring salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus. Live now in the power of Christ and praise of his name. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station, or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 o'clock for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services tab, and then Christ Reigns. Have a very Merry Christmas. And this is from Christ Reigns Church, www.crpchurch.com. In Christ alone.